हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 6, Pantya Lila, excuse me, the meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami, page 133. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 283, Srila Jiva Goswami says, "It is Srimad Bhagavatam's opinion that the process of deity worship is not actually necessary, just as the specific prescriptions of the Pancharatra and other scriptures do not have to be followed. The Bhagavatam enjoins that even without practicing deity worship, one can achieve the complete success of human life by any of the other devotional processes, such as simply offering oneself at the Lord's feet for his protection." So this is from Prabhupada's purport. Right? This is, does it say where the purport is? Oh, the purport to this verse. Yeah, so the point is that devotional service is so independent that simply by these direct activities of devotional service, then, you know, hearing and chanting, that you can perfect life. It means worshiping the deity is one of the nine processes, so it's also a direct process. But the point being made is it's not the rules and that of the varna, the deity worship. It's the expression of the devotion. So if any of the nine processes the devotion is expressed, it will work. Now the point comes up, as pointed out before, that why Narad Muni is then being the incarnation of bhakti, you know, he's empowered with the potency of bhakti, that why deity worship and naishkarmya, because deity worship means then you're engaging all your activities connected to the Lord in a regulated way. It means if you're doing it spontaneously, then it's fine. But if you're not doing that spontaneously, then there's going to be the need to regulate your life so that you are engaged in a regular way in the Lord's service. You know, just like we could say, oh, you know, it's no need all these rules, you know, like this. So we just chant. So, but then what's the see that you will chant regularly? Because the point is pure devotees are chanting 24 hours a day. So we have a minimum of 16 rounds that you're associated with, and then gradually it'll naturally grow. So one's always hearing, always chanting, always remembering all these things. So the point is that the process of deity worship, or the the particular rules and regulations of it are the dynamic. That's the secondary aspects within it. It's the devotion through which it's offered. But those things will make it regular so that you're always, and whatever that regularity is, always connected to Krishna. Therefore, it will be superior to the Varnashram system. Right? So through deity worship, you can become perfect. Right? That's also called Archan Siddhi. So someone who's like dedicated the deities, serving the deities, you know, all day, their whole life, and you see them, they have Archan Siddhi. So generally we hear of Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, and Kripa Siddha. But Prabhupada sometimes mentions Archan Siddha also. You know, that they're just so dedicated. So it's not that it's that, but the point is it's for the Bhagavat, for the person on the platform of Bhagavat to come to prema, then it's just a matter of absorption in Krishna, following the footsteps of the devotees. Right? So in here, seeing these points that are made, then we understand the glory of bhakti, glory of the holy name, glory of the Vaishnavas. And because on that Uttama platform, then the deity is just Krishna directly you're worshipping. Right? It's us here as sadhakas, then it regulates our life. So for the neophyte, it's very important, because otherwise they won't regulate their life. The madhyamas, then it becomes much less important, the regulatory aspects, because they'll be absorbed in hearing, chanting, associating Vaishnavas, preaching like this. So it should be understood that here is not, oh, we don't care about this. Point is, okay, first of all, can you, by your self-analysis of your advancement and all that, do you put yourself on the level of bhava? If you do, then this statement is for you. If you're not, you might consider it more seriously, seeing that Narad Muni is the one speaking about it, all the acharyas introduce it, all the acharyas had deity worship and everything. What they're just pointing out is that these crossing beyond nescience comes by being absorbed in service to the Lord under the direction of the devotees. And just like we were discussing before about the Varanashram, because Narad Muni is also the preacher of Naishkarmya, means that you're performing your duties in connection with Krishna. So that way, deity worship and the Varanashram, then they're both dedicated to the Lord, because deity worship means it's dedicated to the Lord. It means for us, for those who have faith. For those who don't have faith, they have faith in the Vedic system. So in part of that, one of the religious processes that they can be absorbed in is deity worship. And so in that deity worship, then it's only an anga, basically, of their karma. So in other words, for the karmis, then it's one of the religious processes they can use. So then, but for them, the worship of the Lord is just an anga of what they're doing. The main thing is the karma. But for the devotees, then we see it's not. It's about the Lord. So there's a great difference between the karmi who is performing deity worship and varnashram and the devotee who's performing deity worship and varnashram. Because for the devotee who has faith, then it's a matter of their life is centered around the Lord, so therefore all these technical rules, they become secondary. And they're simply supports for the primary pure devotional service. Right? Because when the devotee, naturally you see with time, as someone elevates their consciousness, then their atheistic moralism, an atheistic moralist has faith in morals, right? That good qualities are necessary. That people have to, the equity, fraternity, liberty, these kind of things, they have to be there for human society. But the point is, okay, we're saying we're being equitable. Okay, it's a good quality. They have faith in that quality. They say it's important. But what's the regulation on how you apply equity? Right? Because generally those who get up and shout about equity, they're some of the most unequal people that there are. Because they don't know how to express it. Because of the atheistic demeanor. Right? They're starting off with the atheistic position that it's about the qualities. But they don't know how to apply those qualities for actual benefit. So, depending, someone comes up with something and it seems to work, others can use it and get some benefit, then you see a particular social environment developing. Right? But if then somehow or another the modes change and people, degrade and things like that, then they can't use it anymore. And then you have to wait for some time, and then after some time someone else comes up with something, and then you see it's very strong. It's interesting, just on the particular, just one sense of the morals. Then of, being very reserved and everything like that, and dress and everything, how everyone's so nicely covered up and all that. That came around in the Victorian time, the late 1800s. But before that, earlier than that, you know, especially you go back 1700s and that, or early 1800s and even 1600s like that, the dress and that of everybody was much more revealing. Much more revealing. I mean, it'd be, people nowadays would think it's more free than what they're doing. You know? And now they're thinking, oh, we've broken away from it. No, it was there before. Then the modes change. Then it goes this way. The modes change again. Then it goes in another direction. So that's the whole problem with the atheistic moralism, is that it has no actual, you know, direction on how to apply these so-called morals. How does everybody work together? How does everybody, how is the equality? How is the justice? How is the ethics? There is no definition. It's just one group in one place says this is what it is, and another place they'll say it's not. So, as one elevates, then this atheistic moralism has to then become absorbed in theistic moralism, which means Varnasha, where morals are applied according to Shastra. How Shastra says they're applied, you apply according to that. Now there's a consistency, and now, you know, of course, upadis always make it possible to do, you know, whatever, you know, deviate however much you like. But the point is at least there's some proper direction, and it's much more universal. That's the thing, is that you're taking atheistic and saying this is universal. No, it's only for a particular region. You know, like our popular one is more like West Coast, Southern West Coast. That's taken as this is the free, this is the universal, but everywhere else in there is, that's for that area of America. You go up north, there's kind of like signs when you get to the border between California and the next state up, and it just kind of says that, you know, when you come into the state, leave your California behind. They're actually there, because it's just, they're annoyed with it. You know, and so wherever you go, it's different. So every different part, and that's just in one country. Then you go up to the next country, down to the other one, go across the pond, like that. And you'll see is that all these change, and each one has an idea of what it is. And then even within there's such differences. Even you take the West Coast, there's going to be such differences. And then within that, you know, what they do in L.A. is going to be different than in San Francisco. You know, so it's you're always going to have these aspects like that. So that's why then one has to come to that more universal aspect of following the Veda, because that then gives actual how human beings apply these good qualities. The good qualities that are necessary, they're applied like this, in these situations. This is when you're compassionate. This is when application of compassion would be sentimental. You know, this is when, you know, you're strict. This is where strictness is wrong. So like that, then you can get. But actually, it's only when then this whole theistic moralism then gets elevated to where it then goes into the life of the devotee, the sadhaka, with faith. Then it starts taking on its actual universal nature, because then it's about the soul. So every soul has the nature and right to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So any human can do that. So Krishna consciousness is the only equal thing that all humans, no matter what their background is, can do. So if you're within the 400,000, you can take part in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, then what happens is the whole point of the Varnashram and the regulations and all that take on the form of what's useful in Krishna consciousness to enhance Krishna consciousness and what's not. And that's for you as an individual. Problem comes is that I will be doing one thing, and as soon as I start to adjust and find I don't need to do that, it's not so useful in my life, I try to make it a principle for everybody. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, you have someone is let's say, doing that. You ever heard of that, you know, no mucus diet? Ever heard of that? There's these diets that how you eat, it'll just get rid of all the mucus in your body.
That's ginger and lemon.
Well, but this is, it'll be that plus all these other things, and it's really freaky what it does. But, and people swear by it, but someone who has a kapha constitution where they have too much or something else or it's another, and then you just get rid of it and you're fine, then you go on back to normal diet. But no, these people continue like that. They say this. So it may work for them, but it won't work for others. So it adjusts. Right? So the problem comes is that we think it's whatever is good for me is good for the world. And so the thing is no, the principles are good for everybody because they're given by Krishna, they're given by the Acharyas, they're given in Shastra. So Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. But the detail you have to see is where do I fit? There's so many options. Then we all fit in like that. Does that make sense? Then it takes on its more natural, its most natural, then when one comes to the point of pure devotional service, when there's no upadhis, then the whole system can be run, and it's like Vaikuntha. Hmm? Yes?
I can't get around the concept of the nine processes of devotional service. Shastra, Prabhupada explains, each anga gives perfection.
Yes, well that's the point being made. It's not that just deity worship can do that.
Now, my point is, on the practical level, the reality of a Krishna consciousness movement, not all the devotees are engaged in those nine processes.
No.
Even if you look at deity worship, very few devotees. And out of those, not many actually are 24/7.
Right, right.
So, since the holy name is the Jugadana,
I say there's very few, and we just lost one this last
and
year.
And we just lost one. Well, his brother said he's still in Shigeru. Since the holy name is the Jugadana, it seems that the emphasis is on attaining perfection through Nam Bhajan.
Yes.
So does that mean that all the other angas now become supportive to reach to that?
Yes. But at the same time as you can to any of them or any combination. The point is wherever you find an affinity that you like to do this and it brings you closer to Krishna, you're more absorbed, that one should be focused on. But at the same time as they're only going to work in this age if the hearing and chanting is going on.
That's right. So you can't just do deity worship and I'm not chanting, I don't need to chant.
No, because the point is deity worship, you're chanting. I mean, what are you saying?
Well, you're chanting in the name of Krishna.
Yeah, constantly.
All the mantras.
Yeah, it's just you put these technical mantras connected with it so that you make sure you get it.
Prabhupada told, Vibhu doesn't need to chant because Prabhupada could hear him chant all day what he was speaking for the deities.
Okay.
The body says Prabhupada is not chanting 69, he's chanting.
Yeah, no, that's there. So you can see like that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also mentioned those who are so fully engaged in all that. Someone else was saying, oh, he's not chanting 64 rounds. He says, no, he's chanting 64. I see it, you don't. Because that's the idea. So it's 16 and then the other 48 is done through full absorption in service like that. Or
because what I'm also thinking is,
but it's very important to note that these are, you have the standard, and then you have individuals that are unique. So it's just like that devotee you mentioned, that's unique. You don't get anyone else like that. You know, someone else can't say, well, I'll absorb myself like that. It's like, is there another Vibhu Chaitanya?
No.
It's like, where?
No.
I've never bumped into.
So, in Hariam Chaitanya, Haridas Thakur mentions it goes Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila.
Right.
And as you go from Namapura to Namabhas to Shudanam, you qualify to enter into the Lila. You've already got your Swarup. Is that possible in the other Angas of Bhakti?
Means it always is, but the point is that without this being this age, you're using the form of Harinam Sankirtan, because it's the essence of all the four ages.
Yes.
Means that Harinam with deity worship, Harinam with Yajna, Harinam with meditation. So that's always going to be a core point, because they're always hearing and chanting. So it's not necessary to get into all these different things, because the point is the principle is there, it's mentioned, but one doesn't need to worry about it, because who's absorbed? You know what I'm saying? So the thing is that absorption, then you have the holy name, and then whatever else. That's why it says any one or any combination. So the point is, you can sit down and just chant. And even if you're not going through all the technical deity worship, it'll still work. You know, just like a crore offered prayers,
yes.
Bali Maharaj surrendered, you know, Lakshmiji is all worshipping the lotus feet. So like that, Prahlad Maharaj is remembering. So like that, it works. So the idea is to inspire us to be engaged in at least one, if not, you know, however many are inspiring.
Yes. Yes.
But we always have to be careful in these things, because we generally tend to look for that quick fix or the easy way out, especially if anything's a bit of a problem. So, oh, here, we don't need to do. You know, we just have to sit around and, you know, talk about management all day and then, you know, stuff like that. And so then the difficulty, it means you're going to run into these kind of problems because of this. Because we have to remember, Narada is our acharya. And Prabhupada mentions Pancharatra and Naishkarmya. That's what he preaches. Right? So we're not doing deity worship on that level. But the point is we're, you know, are getting up at the Mangal Arati, we're doing all these things, taking our bath, how we're going through the whole, you know, how with the step by step, that's all Pancharatra. Now, whether we're in the temple worshipping the deity and doing the Arati or not, that's another thing. Because someone who sees the Arati gets the same benefit. Those who go to Mangal Arati, the person offering the Arati, and all the people watching get exactly the same benefit.
Yes.
Means by the position that's there. Now, someone is more devotional, he'll get more. Someone's less devotional, less. But doing the worship, seeing the worship, even the person, let's say someone gave a donation for all the paraphernalia for the worship, they get the same benefit also. The flowers that were used, the plant that gave the flowers gets the same benefit. The cow who gave the ghee gets the same benefit. You know, so that's the thing. Everybody gets benefited. That's why it's such a wonderful process. That's why it's so important that Kapila Dev makes the point about if you only see the deity in the temple and don't see the other living entities, then you haven't fully understood deity worship. He's not as satisfied with that kind of worship. It becomes very neophyte. Like that. You have to be able to appreciate the Vaishnavas and other living entities. Then the deity worship becomes very dynamic. So, yeah. So it's just, one has to see as all these things all progress and naturally culminate in pure devotional service. That's the whole point. And another thing is on that, as we're hearing and chanting, the point is the living entity is always in the liberated state. But by consciousness, we allow our consciousness to get covered, and therefore we get these others. So as the consciousness becomes purified, then our natural state becomes understood, becomes revealed by Krishna. That's why someone who's a gross materialist, you can make a spiritual point, a devotional point, in such a way that they stop and think about it, and as a living entity, they can, at any moment, think spiritually. Right? That's the nature of the soul, so they can do that. That's why they can. Otherwise, how is it happening? A gross materialist. So when the chit potency is there and that inherent nature that's there in the soul, combined by the contact with the devotees, they're able to appreciate and go, yes. That's why this whole thing is just external logic, and that's going to attract or repulse people? No. They don't like anything. You know what I'm saying? It's everything they don't like. So to say, oh, they won't like us because we say this. They don't like anybody. Who do they like? Right, the people that sit around and talk these things, you got millions of people talking that same point. How many people do they talk it with? One, two, three. They're very gregarious. There might be five or six on special occasions, like when they get out enough beer or something. But it's other two or three. They don't move with the guys at the next table that are talking exactly the same thing. They'll have nothing to do with them. So they don't have this big community. They don't get together and have a big party. I mean, they might go out and march in the street, burn down buildings and stuff, but that, you know, they can do together. But something, you know, personal, interactive, no. So it's not that it works for them. You have to be able to take shelter of the human process as given. That will give the basis by which everybody can work together and everything like that. It's the only universal thing. All these other ideas of universal, they're coming from the modes of nature, the material. Because it's not.
Just today we got a feedback, it's very funny, from our students, and that in the same period of time, like within 2 hours, you know, after the class, usually people still think about it, so it's kind of cooking. So one wrote, why is there, you know, so much explanation of Sanskrit terms? And the next one is like immediate, one after the other. Can you concentrate more on the explaining the Sanskrit terms? So it is what it is, and then. Yeah.
Whichever can be an issue. Oh, you're not explaining, it's not clear. Why so much on this terminology? Why it's so technical? You know, it's all about bhakti, and, you know, like this. Yeah, it's just, that's the thing, is you can watch people who are into this flip like that. I told you that one, we're cooking the regular, Calcutta temple in at that time, when Garga Muni had been president, then it was all based around preaching to the life members, like that. And he had such a dynamic program that in the evening, for the evening Artik, so many of these high-class gentlemen from Calcutta would come to the Artik. All be there, all dressed nicely, all come in there like that. And he'd even, I think once a month, he'd fly in a Chutanandan Maharaj from Hyderabad. You know, for the weekend and like that, you know, when they, like that, and they could, you know, spend more time and all that. And very big program. So after the after the kirtan, after the class, then they take prasad, and it was, you know, that kind of marwari potato aloo sabji, the potato sabji, you know, the dry one,
yeah.
You know, the turmeric and puris, you know, cooked in ghee, like that, and every night, like that. So the devotees had prasad at 9 a.m. Then they went out. You know, because you didn't have to go out earlier than that, because nothing opens, you know.
Empty streets.
Yeah, you know, it's like. And so, and 9 o'clock at night, with the, like that. And so, because everyone in the temple, only life member maker stayed in the temple. If you were a life member maker, then you didn't stay in the temple. Unless you were the cook, you know, or the pujaris. And that was it. And so then after he became GBC, he became other things, someone else became the president. Then, you know, still having that same schedule, same going, the same people were coming and everything like that. But at some point, the devotees, oh, you know, it's eating so late, so heavy, this, that, you know, got like this and that, you know. So they shifted it to 5 o'clock. Same though, puris and sabji. And then, you know, the emphasis is not on the members and that, they stopped coming. Like a couple, you know, main guys still come, but, you know, there's two or three like this. It's not the same, you know, 40, 50 people will come, you know, every day. Like that. And then after a while, then it's too heavy, you know, like that. We need something lighter. What can we do, you know? Like that. So, you know, it's like, so what's heavy, right? Now, here's the fun part. You can watch the brain and I was going to say unfold, but probably unravel would be better. So what's going to be heavy, that aloo sabji or the puris?
Puri.
The puris, of course, right? But it's too heavy, the meal, the combination. So then, what can we do? So then they go to fruit salad instead of the sabji. So puris and fruit salad.
Wow.
With dahi?
No, because it's nighttime, you know, it's like that. On a codicil, you would do that in the breakfast. We do that. One time I did it, I think it was just condensed milk straight in it. Had just one bucket like that. That's not enough like that. They couldn't finish the bucket. It was so serious. Yes. So then it went from that. Then after a while, but it's still heavy. So then they went to chapatis. You know? Yeah.
No puris.
No puris. Then they went to chapatis. Here. Do you think Bengalis are making this, complaining about this menu? No. Okay. So, then...
That's
rice. Hmm?
Rice
and
everything else.
Yeah, that's, no problem. Like rice and that, just rice. You know, rice and a green chili, we're good. Like, so, you know, so... Yeah. That's red, been rolled in chili powder. Like that. So then it went to chapatis. Then it's... I forget what it was. Then it went to a sabji.
Oh.
Because it was that. Because now it's too light or something. And then, at one point, after going for that, it went back to puris. In 1 year, it went in a full cycle.
And
9 p.m.? Huh? No, it then went back to that because, you know, everyone wants to go to bed. You know, who cares about life members, right? So... But, you know, that's the problem is that if you get into these kind of, how you say, just mundane morals and ideas and issues, there is no proper expression. There is no proper. You know, it's like everything comes out, oh yeah, this is the new superfood, this is that, and it goes and it becomes the rage and everything, and then after 6 months someone comes up with something saying, oh, this is bad for you. And then, boof, it just disappears. You know? Like that. So like that. It means everything. You people jumping up and down about quinoa anymore? No, that's gone. You know, so many things. It's there. Some people eat it, but it's not as...
The black one,
no. Oh, it's the black one. Okay, the black one's okay. So, black quinoa, man.
And spirulina is not confession.
Yes, spirulina is not.
Because it's fungus, so...
It's a fungus.
It's not that healthy, actually.
Fungus. Took them 20 years to figure
it out. It's, what was it called? It was called, I think, green algae 53 or something, or 54. That's its original name. Spirulina was its what do you call it, corporate name. Then, yeah, so I mean, it's like that. It just goes, that's the problem with the atheistic morality. It has no proper expression. It has no balance. It has nothing. You know, anything, if you eat too much of it, is going to be bad for you. You know?
Even good things.
Yeah, even good things. If you breathe too much air, it will kill you. Too much air will kill you. You know, drink water, and if you drink too much water, that'll kill you. You know? So that's the thing, is too much of anything... I think, isn't there a saying like that? Too much of a good thing is... Yeah, like that. So, there's always a balance. So that's the thing, the Vedic system shows how it's balanced. It's good in this season, but it's not in that. That's the thing. Everyone will be eating it, but then they'll eat it in the season that it's not good for them, and then people find it out, but then that will be for all times. Right? That's the thing. If something's wrong, that's eternal, and something good, that's always temporary.
It's interesting how in places where you really see the goodness in terms of air, nature, beauty, and in remote places, that's where people are most in tamas. Like for example in Switzerland, in the villages, they're all drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are drunk from morning until night. And yet,
that's why they don't freeze to death in the winter.
And yet...
Because, see, they ran out of St. Bernards. There weren't enough of them to bring around if they got stuck in the snow. So now you have to, you know, how you say, self-pickle to make sure, because the dog may not come to find
you. And you've got, you know, crystal clear water and fresh air, and they are like
Well, who else is out there? I mean, the animals are out there, everything. The point is, that's the natural environment you're supposed to be in, but you're supposed to do something with it. All it is that in the city, then you add some passion, so they run around, so it looks like you're doing something else. But otherwise, that, you know, if they had the opportunity, they'd be the same. Point is, they're living this life, you go out and you plow the fields, you plant the stuff, then you wait for 3 months. So then you can drink all day. While the other guys, they got to work like a donkey, you know, like that. They don't have time to drink, but if they did, they would, you know, like that. But it's funny like that. So it's just the modes of nature where they are. So there'll be the civilized element is less, so you have to come up to more sophisticated. But the problem is when in the modern, unless it's coming up from the devotees. Then, when they come up, then they became atheistic. Like, you'll generally also see those people in the village are not necessarily atheistic. They may be agnostic, or they don't think about it.
Now, they go to church and they can go to the pub afterwards.
Yeah. But the point is that they have that kind of religious. So, but it's not very developed. They don't understand the soul, God, anything much, but as they come up and they get more sophisticated, more so-called civilized, then they also lose all those good qualities that are there. That's the problem. So only if they come in contact with Vaishnavas, now they'll be able to cross over that atheistic moralism. They'll be able to cross over the platform of theistic moralism, and they'll be able to be engaged in sadhana bhakti, where all the benefits of all the good qualities and good actions are already included. You know, then they can do. Then you see, it's very nice. Already situated nicely, they know how to run a farm. They can run a farm. No.
It's an interesting phenomenon because, you know, the devotees are the last one that want to go and live on a farm.
That's why, if you want to establish a farm, preach to farmers.
That's right.
And have them. If the farmers in their own farm become Krishna conscious, and that's all right. That's because city people think if you're not living in the city, you're in Maya.
But they don't want to go to the farm; they want to go to the suburb.
That's the point. Means all farms that are maintaining and have a community. They're not farms; they're suburbs. Literally, real farms. Who's on them? You know, like that one out in the, what's that one? Belgaum?
Yes.
Who's out there?
What is this?
It's in Maharaj. See, you haven't even heard of it. It's the Chopati actual farm.
The actual farm.
Not Wada.
Yes,
Wada's
yes.
More of a retreat.
Yes.
It's to get away from the city so that people can actually spend some proper time with devotees and do something like that. But it does have farm aspects to it. But it's not a farm. Belgaum is a farm. You know, there's a handful of people there. I think there's one down in, it's somewhere between, what do you call it? Udupi and Mangalore.
Hebri.
You know, who's there? That's Raghav Pandit Maharaj's farm. Raghav Pandit, now he's Raghav Swami, right?
Yeah,
Raghav Maharaj.
Yeah,
Raghav Maharaj. Hmm? Well, because he was Raghav Pandit before, now he became So, Gita Nagar was a fabulous farm, but they only had, you know, once the farmer left, then it's no longer a farm. It was like the best in the state year after year to, you know, other than weeds, they probably do better than any farm around, hands down, you know, but like that. But, you know, unless someone's there. I remember seeing in one of the ones in Australia, there were two farmers there, but no one listened to them because they're not very sophisticated in that. The point is that this is what you can plant and this is when you can plant it. It's kind of like, what do you mean? We're managing here. We have to discuss this. You know, what are the options? Do we actually want to grow potatoes? What about this? Are potatoes good for us? Do we want to be identified with growing potatoes? You know, all this. Won't we be seen as a bunch of idiots? You know, shouldn't we be growing, you know, quinoa or like this and that? By that time, the time for planting potatoes, which is the only thing you'd plant in that season, is gone, and now you can't plant anything. And so after, you know, some years of this, the farmers both left. like that. So unless there's an individual that can relate to it, no, that's why if you want that kind of thing, you have to go and preach to farmers. Kibbutz. And being a farmer is all right.
Kibbutz.
Yeah, kibbutz.
Well, the problem is the kibbutzes, see, that farm, it's still got the that capitalistic element to it. But the kibbutz doesn't, so that unless someone's very...
Yeah, the new generation, they're older.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Now it's just money-making.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movement faded away. It's not.
And it hasn't worked any, because it's the only thing there. It has to be supported by everything else. That's the whole thing. Is that, yeah. Means the Vedic system, that is part of it. It's one of the aspects. But if you always make it only on one, it'll always fail. It means every serious attempt has failed.
It's a communist idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
It came from that side.
Yeah. It's socialistic. Yeah.
I remember driving, we were all going with the Israeli devotees to spend a weekend on the Sea of Galilee. So I arrived early with the Ramakrishna Maharaj and I said, Guru, I want to show you kibbutz. Kibbutz? I said, yeah, I'll show you kibbutz. Okay, let's go. So I drive him inside the kibbutz where I used to 30 years back, I used to be a volunteer there. And he looked at me, how come nobody told me about this? I said, you know, these are farm communities. This is amazing. How come you don't have one of those?
Is that the one when you drive up, you go around, and then you go up to there? Where we went one time?
Yeah.
That same one.
Yeah. We went the same road. I showed you that place on the right side. He used to work.
Okay.
He used to work. Yeah. Back in the 70s, 75. Hmm. I mean, I was hooked.
Okay.
I mean, I was hooked. I thought this is ideal life. And then it all fell apart.
I mean, it didn't work with the Essenes, so why should it work with anybody else? So. Problem is the emphasis has to be on the training in God consciousness. Then you can maintain it. But if the emphasis is not, then it becomes a problem. As soon as it becomes a little secular or...
Actually, the religious kibbutz are the one who are holding on the most.
Yeah, because the point is then you have a reason to be in the mode of goodness, and it's all for God. So that's the whole point, is only the Vedic system, where God's the center of everything. So only the devotees managing or running the Vedic system. So in other words, when you're using Varnashram by devotees, with that proper understanding, then it can work. Problem is they look at it, how it's running in general, and then say, oh, we don't want that. But the point is all the things that are working is what they want. You know. Yes?
I was thinking also, it's coming up, that our idea of deity worship, it's you know, very external, like waving incense or doing some rituals.
Mm-hmm.
But here, actually, Mahaprabhu, in those few instructions that he actually personally will give to Raghunath Das, he will tell him, always worship Radha and Krishna in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Vaishnava deity worship, because we give him the mantra, we give him the deity in the form of the deity, and the deity of, you know, the Ishta Devata, the Sampradaya. Mm-hmm. So we always worship.
Mm-hmm.
But whether on the physical level, how it's expressed, that's another thing. So we actually, at least those who are, you know, initiated into the Diksha mantras, we always engage in deity worship.
Yeah.
It's
no one's always engaged. That's the whole point is that, because what are the Brajbasis doing? They're worshipping the deities, Brajakumar. So it means they're the deities, it's just a matter, is it formal like in Vaikuntha, or it's not so formal like in Braj? But the point is, the difference is the attitude. So you're waving the incense and it's just about what's going on there. It won't be the same as when that the incense is being waved and there is devotion. So the idea is on how you're going to wave, because if we don't have an idea, you can imagine how many ways of waving there'll be, and some people will be, you know, yeah, you know, all kinds of things, or how you say, what says that Leonard Bernstein will be up there, you know, so it'd be all kinds of weirdo stuff. So then therefore, then Pancharatra says how the incense is used, how the lamps are used, how the flowers. Yeah, all these things are there. But it's not about that. That's just the form by which it's done. Why it's there, then those are the things to think about. Those are the things. So it means, but you start there because it's for the deity. You're doing it to please the deity, and you're doing it under authority. And so by that, then the Lord will be pleased, and gradually you'll be able to appreciate more. You know, so that's the thing. And then what works for the individual in their situation, that will be there. So the difficulty comes up is it's always, you have to be so careful on that it's there. But at the same time, it's not. It means you can't get. You want to avoid the smartas. You want to avoid the sahajas. So you have to stay that. Get that balance, and then that balance. How it's going to work for the individual. Then that has to be seen.
And you want to avoid the pandas.
Yes. Yeah.
And the mayavadis.
And the mayavadis.
And the pandas. I mean, I don't know. Those pandas. Personally, they drive me crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, hence Sanatan Goswami would take the path on the beach.
I mean, you know, if you get to Radhakund, you want to sit 5 minutes on your own, and a guy comes, and you got to do that mantra. I know Jagat Kamala, I mean, Jagat Kamala. I'm going to tell you, if you don't do the mantra, I'm not going to do this on you. All his disciples, they come to me. So you have to do the mantra. Oh, okay, I will do Maharaj. Just get out of here, get out of my life.
You can try going. You know, first of all, you have to figure out which side you can come in that's quiet. So maybe try coming in from Shamakund.
From Shamakund.
You know, the other side where I can't remember who's on that side, but the side opposite the Lord Chaitanya's Baitak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because over here, then people move. Yes. You have to go in, and then from that the well.
Yes. Yes.
Then come in.
There's a street.
Yes.
And then you come in through there, and then you just come in and go there, or you can somehow or another from there just go in and go straight through to Janava's place.
Yes.
And don't sit there where the tree. Go around that. You know, there's the place to go bathe. Go around that to the side. Then when you sit down, take your chadar and completely cover yourself. So the chadar touches the ground all the way around. And then just start chanting. And then after a while you see that everything's cool, then, you know.
And do it at night. Do it at night.
I mean, it's slow.
Yeah, do it during meal time.
Oh, that's another one.
Breakfast,
great
one. Lunch, or dinner, just do it. Then everything is quiet. They're very regulated also. Or I also figured out one way, you dress like beach bussy.
Really?
Hey, you know, like lungi, yeah, gamsha and chadar, and japa bead, no bags, no nothing. Then they realize you've got nothing. They can't ask for what they want.
Unless they want a gamsha, you know.
Gamsha. Nobody wants gamsha.
Yeah, not a new gamsha. Yeah.
Also the temple inside, Krishna's temple, on that, but just, there is a temple, there inside they don't come.
Yeah.
That temple. Where's that?
The dome?
Just the dome, just next to it there is a temple.
Yeah, that's
it. Of Haridev temple.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there? Manasiganga.
No. It means you have the Baitak, and you have the middle part. There's this side over here that's just like a wall. But
yes.
If you go up, there's some of these little balconies.
Oh, yes.
You know, so if you can figure out how you get in one of those, then... Okay, so we're kind of good on this, because the whole thing is that basically we're folding things up into pure bhakti. And when the jiva turns their face away from Krishna, it gets folded down the other way. You come in as Brahma, so then you're going to understand the spiritual, you're going to understand the varnashram, you know, the scriptures, all those things like that. Then we're still here, so then Prajapatis, we're still here, then great sages, we're still here, and then we have the Indugopa. Right? You know, and then we work our way up and things like this, and then we meet devotees, and then you can start to take it back. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it's this extremity of it's all this or all that or this. You have to find, if you really want to make it work, you have to see, how can I always be engaged? And so then that's the point that's being. So here, such as, yeah, simply, okay. 3:6, 2:24, 2:37. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. A vairagi, a person in the renounced order, should not depend on others. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful, and he will be neglected by Krishna. If he renunciates, eager for his tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost, and he will be subservient to the taste of his tongue. The duty of a person in the renounced order is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra always. He should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits, and roots are available. One who is subservient to the tongue and who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. The next, so that becomes the first verse of Upanishadrita. The next day, Raghunath Das inquired at the lotus feet of Srup Damodar about his duty. "I do not know why I have given up household life," he said. What is my duty? Kindly give me instructions." Raghunath Das never even spoke a word before the Lord. Instead, he informed the Lord of his desires through Srup Damodar Goswami and Govinda. The next day, Srup Damodar Goswami submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das has this to say at your lotus feet: "I do not know my duty or the goal of my life. Therefore, please personally give me instructions from your transcendental mouth." Smiling, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, "I have already appointed Srup Damodar Goswami as your instructor. You may learn from him what your duty is and how to discharge it. I do not know as much as he. Nevertheless, if you want to take instructions from me with faith and love, you may ascertain your duties from the following words. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. Do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind render service to Radhan Krishna in Vrindavan." Srila Prabhupada, that's what you were referring to before.
Yes.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Amrita Prabha Bhasya that when a man and woman are married, they beget children and are thus entangled in family life. Talk concerning such family life is called Gramyakata. A person in the renounced order never indulges in either hearing or talking about such topics. He should not eat palatable dishes, since that is unfit for a person in the renounced order. He should show all respects to others, but should not expect respect for himself. In this way, one should chant the holy name of the Lord and think of how to serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Right, so the Prabhupada gives that, you know, that last point. How, think of how to serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So then if you're able to always be absorbed in remembering them, then you can do that there. Otherwise, you do things here that are for pleasing them. Like that. So everybody at every level can be engaged in always thinking of how to serve Radha and Krishna.
To think of the divine couple and to please them and to serve them, you need shiksha to do that. You can't just make it up.
Of course.
Correct?
Yeah.
So you need a shiksha guru to...
Yeah.
Now you chant this mantra, now you serve this way, now you serve that way.
Yes. That's why we go through this process. So we hear. So that's what he's saying. Lord Chaitanya had told Raghunath Das that he was now under Sub Damodar, that he'll instruct you. But since Raghunath Das asked him for instructions, he says, well, Sub Damodar knows more than me, but if you want to hear something from me with, you know, faith and love, then, you know, you can glean from this. And then how to apply this, now Sub Damodar will explain. As we see here, probably in the purport, how to serve Radha Krishna and Vrindavan, you know, thinking of how we can do that. So that expands it to, now it makes it accessible. Otherwise, one can interpret it as just, you know, within your mind, just render service of their Rastakali, Alila, this, that, blah, blah. But point is if they're not always remembering, then like that. So that becomes the point is that since the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, that means all living entities can be absorbed in that worship. And so then, whatever is their capacity, they can be engaged under authority. Because the point is, there's no such thing as you're going to worship Radha and Krishna on your own. It doesn't exist. So we're always going to be working under authority. And so, that's, you know, because if someone's doing it, they say, oh, but the Astakali and this, who's your authority? Who's telling you? Who's saying that do this, do that? No, they're just saying, now I'll do this, now I'll do that, now go here, now go there. It's all their mental speculation. They're not working under authority. You know, you see when the Acharyas do, say, when then their stories is there, you know, the fan is being fanned, and then they say, leave that fan, go pick flowers. That's what goes on. You know, this thing is, well, I'll do this and I'll do that, and, you know, so many things like that. That's what's been introduced by the Sahajiyas. Because you're always working under authority. But the point is that since it's all focused on Krishna, it all has that wonderful, wonderful sweetness. So that's the thing, it can have both of these elements. Because we're taking it, oh, if it's whimsical, then you can have the real sweetness. No, it has its natural form. And that form has its own movement. So we're not the ones seeing the movement. The ones above us see that movement. They engage us. We can see them. They can see. Just like you have that story of Ramanujacharya. He's standing, I think it was Bharadvaj. He was standing in front of Bharadvaj offering prayers. And his servant was standing, you know, he have Jai Vijay, Ganga Jamuna at the gates. He was standing there, you know, his back to the deity, and facing Ramanuja and offering prayers. Maniac Kuresh. And so Ramanuja, you know, afterwards says, what are you doing? You're supposed to face and offer prayers to the deity. He says, I don't know the deity. I know you. You know the deity. So I offer prayers to you, and in that way I'll know the deity. I mean, he's the only one in the Sampradaya that's doing that, but the point is the points being made is that we only know Braja Krishna through these devotees. We can't, how will we know Braja Krishna ourselves? Braja Krishna means the most complete form and manifestation of Krishna's, you know, 64 qualities in fullness. You don't have that in Balaram, any other expansion. How do we know that? So that means to have all the qualities manifested in full, there has to be someone that's being reciprocated with. Right? Who is that? Who has that same position of all the qualities, all everything, that Krishna then can reciprocate all those moods and that will be in the mood in that Braja aspect. That's only his Swarup Shakti. Right? And that full form of that is Srimati Radharani. So only Braja Radha, if she's there, then you see Braja Krishna. That's why when he's in Kurukshetra, you're dealing with Braja Krishna. People can say whatever they like, but that's who you're dealing with. Because Radharani's dealing
with. That's what she sees.
Yeah. That's what the prayer is. Lord Chaitanya says the same prayer.
Yes.
You know, you're the same boy, I'm the same girl. And then people say, oh, they never leave. Of course they never leave. But that's the point is they're in Vrindavan. But it has that element of viraha. So there's that element of separation. But it's still the same people. We also see Vidagdha Madhava. Same thing. Satyabhama is saying, you know, now let's go back to Vrindavan. Because Rupa Goswami doesn't say Satyabhama, he says Radha. When someone addresses her, another, you know, character in the play, they'll say Satyabhama. But for who's reading the lines, it says Krishna, Radha, Madhu Mangal, you know, like that, Chandrava, that's what it says. So that aspect is there. She sees Braja Krishna. Then who sees her? Who's assisting her? Then you have Lalita like this. Then who's assisting them? Then Rupa and Rati and like that. And so then we can assisting there. That's how we see. If we ever think we'll see directly, you have to be a fool. Because if they're not there, because it's also, what is it, explanation, then Krishna comes as the demigoddess, I think, and discussing with Radharani, and talking about, you know, how do you know, yeah, how do you know his affection? And that, you know, because, you know, the other gopis are there, he went off and this and that, and she explained it all. And she explained that her love is like Mount Meru, and any other gopi is a mustard seed. And so you know that mustard seed starts with number two. Right? So she's Mount Meru, anyone else. So it adds to the pastime. So it's Mount Meru and a mustard seed. But if you take away Meru, it's a mustard seed. Mustard seed, unlimited Krishna. Mustard seed, unlimited, you know, it's not gonna work. So that's why all these kind of things that are brought out by all these, you know, Radhakund or Govardhan or Navadvip Babas and all these things like that are useless for us. Because it's not the mood, it's not the act, it's not how it's approached. We follow, and they'll give us everything. They're trying to engage us. Krishna wants it. Point is these pastimes are so wonderful that they're naturally expanding. Otherwise, why is Goloka 51% of the spiritual world? Why isn't it just that little place in Vaikuntha is getting bigger? No, it's everything's getting bigger. That means Goloka is getting bigger. No?
Oh, yes.
So that opportunity is there. Other, we're moving into pastime where there's 5,000 or 6,000. But at a Maharas, there's millions. Same time, all those people are there in Vrindavan. At the same time, they're not who you're dealing with at any other time other than Maharas. No? So that's the thing, the unlimited nature of Braja. Then when it, you know, it's going to be something big, then it all works out very perfectly. And otherwise, then you just you're moving in your circle. So that's the point. We know our line. How big it is, how small it is, that's not our business. That's just up to, you know, what Radha and Krishna, how they want to express their affection. Krishna wants to do something bigger, Radharani arranges that. Yes.
Also, if we look into Mana Shiksha, the second verse says exactly those instructions that Raghunath Das got from Mahaprabhu. He just paraphrases it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts, you know, worship of the Guru, then going like that, Vrindavan, then the divine couple, and then the paraphrase of Trinada Visunichina, done by Hitva Guru Rajima Purvam, and like that. So it's
Yes.
It's exactly in the same line.
Yeah, that's they'll have their particular the mood in which it's being expressed, but it's the points are the same. Without humility, you can't get anything else. That's what we were describing before. Is that this idea of where you bring up you kind of allow, maybe you don't address them directly, but you don't mind the upadis come in as long as it's with scholarship or professionalism or management, not administration. We can't go that far. But, you know, so, you know how you say. So, these things come up, but the problem is it creates a pride, and in that pride, then how do you move forward? That's the point. One is, I'm unqualified. I have no taste. Right? What's the next mantra? Humility. When that's there, then you can always be chanting. Then, what's the next? No material desire. The no material desire, then the next is taste. You know, and that full shelter, that full surrender. That's what he says. Such as simply offering myself the Lord's lotus feet for his protection. So there's completely that. Then what's the next one? Baba. Right there.
Bhajan Rahasya,
but also Shikshastika. They're all moving on the same line. Because Lord Chaitanya gave Shikshastika.
Yes.
That's it. So basically you see all the acharyas, it's everything's based on that. The principles like that. Sanatana Goswami has been given something to establish how all this works together, because you have to have an environment in which you're going to function. And so therefore he's showing fully how you engage the deity worship, the Varnashram, all these different aspects are all there, all the rituals, everything like that, household life, everything is explained there. But at the same time, as then he starts to explain the higher realms and all that, and what happens on that side also. But he's explaining from the Sambandha aspect. He's explaining, the goal is prema, but that's Sambandha, is that you know that that's prema. Mm-hmm. Endeavoring for that, now that is abhideya, mm-hmm. Prayoj, and gaining that is prayoj. So that's why Sanatana Goswami, his works are the most vast, because his covers the greatest ground that's there. But then you have to apply that. That's Rupa Goswami. So it's very simple. The same points come back. It's just different aspects for different situations, how you can appreciate and apply it in your situation. So in that way you can have unlimited explanations of these same simple points. Like that. Good. Okay. Talk concerning such family life is called Gramikata. A person in the arena. Oh, no, you could. Oh, yes. So, in here we see that it's very important, and also the instructions of the acharyas how to apply that. Just like this has been given, but is expected. Now, he's going to hear from Srup Damodar how to apply this. Right? Like that. And so it's not that he will, because he's been told to learn from Srup Damodar. And then he'll explain, he'll engage. Because otherwise, you see, is when Prabhupada talks about, you should not eat palatable dishes, means I'm thinking I want to eat this and then arrange that. Point is we take Krishna Prasad. And it may be a very palatable dish, but it wasn't, you're not thinking, I want this palatable dish. Does that make sense? So fine, as soon as it's prasad, I guess, and even if it is you want to eat, you cook these nice things, offer them to Krishna, and then take the remnants. So you're never eating palatable dishes on their own, they're always connected to Krishna. Does that make sense?
That's a fine line here. Say, well, I'm not attached to palatable dishes, I'm only eating Mahaprasad, and it's my service.
Yeah.
And since Krishna is only eating palatable dishes, well, I just happen to be there.
Yeah.
And therefore I do eat palatable dishes.
Yes. And then there's another instruction in Bhagavad Gita, in the purport.
No,
that's another. Yeah. Then, no, you have the one about, it's talking about. About the second Pandava.
What
Rikodar.
Rikodar.
Yeah. Voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks. Yeah, so you can just do it. The point is it's a matter of what's the consciousness. If it's a matter, it's just prasad and that's wonderful and that, then what's the problem? Because otherwise you just think, no, it's austerity and this, and brahmacharya and this and that. That's okay if it's creating a distraction, but otherwise if it focuses on that renunciation, since when does renunciation as a religion get you prema? Only the holy name will do that. You know, so you always have to see the balance there. You know, so that's the thing is this. And anyway, who can say that, who is such a you know, an enthusiast of prasad, that they can absorb themselves in that way, right? Who really appreciates in that, you know? So, but the point is, they just eat and do nothing else. The point is then, if you're saying this is your only service, since service goes on 24/7, what are you doing about this? So, are you going to be eating 24/7? Sit down and eat one grain of rice at a time, and like that, and maybe that way you'll get through the whole day. So you have to be doing something like that. So since if the food is there, then maybe you should be involved in, you know, the cooking or the offering or the arranging the things or the menus or going out and purchasing the materials or raising the funds for it and making your organizations and doing all these things. And then in that way you can engage yourself always in this nice, you know, prasad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's why it's so difficult to secure maha, because it's this inner circle of pujaris who stash a lot of stuff, you know. They are, especially on festival days, you see like hundreds of dishes and suddenly just disappear. Where did it go?
It goes into black holes.
Maybe. Yeah, these sciences come up with these black holes, everything goes sucks inside.
It's you knock on the door, you know. What do you want?
And you can never find it.
But at the same time, that means that you surrender yourself as the humble servant and serve and all that. then you know, to 241. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. I have briefly given you my instruction. Now you'll get all details about them from Srup Damodar, right? How to apply that, what does that mean? Because you see, Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, and Advaitacharya is feeding him very nicely, Bhattacharya is feeding him very nicely. The king, Prataparudra, is sending all the best things from Jagannath and all that. And it's, I think it was in that one when it was in the garden pastimes, it talked about so some special preps that would come and be given to Lord Chaitanya and then distributed. So the thing is he's not arranging, it's just whatever comes. And so if nice things come, because the point is sannyas means, Manu mentions indifference. Indifference means it doesn't matter to you. If it's nice or not nice, it's whatever the Lord arranges, that's what you have. That's the meaning of indifference. Not the modern indifference is taken as it's a negative attitude. This is, it's a neutral attitude. You don't, it's not your, what do you call it?
Interest.
If it's nice, you eat, it's Krishna's prasad. What's the problem? And if not, that's what Krishna arranged. Like that. So same way, because here is you're dressing nicely for preaching. Like you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and have all his devotees dressed really well. Like that. And so then, and that way for the preaching. But for yourself, you're not dressing nicely. So these points is when you bring it into this, and then it takes on, this is the Braj mood is about Krishna. So it can be very nice or very simple. It doesn't matter. Like you see, is when Uddhava went to, was sent from Dwarka to Vrindavan. So then in Bhagavatam, you're hearing about the apricot lila. When he went to Vrindavan, he went into the apricot lila, not the prakat. And so in the purport, the acharyas are talking about what's going on in the prakat. But he didn't see that. So that's the thing in the prakat. There's cobwebs on the stoves. They haven't cooked since Krishna left. They don't eat. They don't care. So that's the thing. As Krishna's there, they make the most fat, 100 stoves in Mother Yashoda's Krishna kitchen. You know, the only other place I know where there's 100 stoves for cooking for the deity is Sri Ranga.
Oh, so
here, tell me. They're putting in 100 stoves?
Wow, I mean, that kitchen is massive.
No? Great, good. I'm saying Sri Ranga had, I don't know if they still use it, they had a room that was, you could say it's half the size of this to the ceiling. That was just for ghee. So people come in, bullock carts, elephants, you know, camel, whatever it is, and people would just be pouring ghee in there all day. You know, it's kind of like you just have to stand in line. When they're finished, then they go, then you can come in. And there's, and from that, then it's the big well, and it has a place to put it in, and it has a well thing where you can drop the bucket down. And one devotee's job was, all he was doing all day was pulling out ghee, and then they have this like funnel. He'd pour it into there. You know, fill it and pour it into there. It goes into the kitchen through a channel. You know, it's about, I think about, I'm not sure. But I remember it's about that wide, about that deep. And it goes in, because he's at the corner here, the door going in. It goes in and then down the full length of the kitchen. And they have there is a, how do you say? Well, at least they used to have, it was like a trench. And in there was just fire. So you just, anywhere you put your pot on, or you pull it off and things like that. And 100 people could cook. And on the other side of that is that trench. And so whenever you need, you just took ghee, put it in your pot, made your chants, put it in afterwards like that. That was. At the time of Ramanuja, that was going on. Means those, the facilities are there, and the, you know, if someone's, they'll talk about it. The well is empty. There's nothing in the trench. It's like, you know, so yeah. But that's what it used to be. So that's the thing. Is Mother Jashoda, it's 100 stones.
And
I'm not sure, because there they stack everything up. So there it'll be big, definitely big.
Yeah, they use a different system.
Yeah. Do they still do it here at Jagannath? Because the guys from Puri came and showed us how to do those pots stacked up.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
So then, 100, you know, it's like that. So when Radharani would come with her assistants, they'd light all the stoves and start cooking. So that's on the one side. On the other side, if there's no Krishna, they don't even cook at all. They don't eat. So that's the whole point, is that the sannyasa is actually, it's all about Krishna. It means you have the thing, is okay, you don't care, just from that renounce from the spiritual point of view. But their point of renunciation is just about Krishna. And so it's all about Krishna, and so that's all that matters. So that's the sannyasa one's trying to get to. Because that means anyone in any barn, any ashram can be in that. Mm-hmm. It's all about Krishna. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, then mechanically, we have a system to get you through. You know, it's like more emphasis on the deity worship, then that'll bring you to the preaching, that'll bring you to, you know, like, it just, everything just takes you through. One who thinks himself lower than grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Footnote 67. This is the second occurrence of Sri Sikshastaka verse 3 in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first was in Adi Lila chapter 17, where Lord Chaitanya, after eating uncooked rice from Shukambar Brahmachari's begging bag, was elaborating on the Harinama shloka mentioned in the Brihan Naradiya Purana. Oh, okay, so he's elaborating on that. Having heard this, Raghunath Das offered prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord, out of great mercy, embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again entrusted him to Srup Damodar. Thus, Raghunath Das rendered very confidential service with Srup Damodar Goswami. Srila Prabhupada. Antaranga Seva refers to service performed in one's spiritual body. Srup Damodar Goswami was former Lalita Devi. Raghunath Das, who was among his assistants, now also began to serve Radha and Krishna within his mind. Okay, so here's more clearly. Before it was, are the other like this? Then. 3:6, 2:42 to 2:47. At this time, all the devotees from Bengal arrived, and as previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them with great feeling. As he had previously done, he cleansed the Gundicha temple and held a picnic feast in the garden with the devotees. The Lord again danced with the devotees during the Rath Yatra festival. Seeing this, Raghunath Das was struck with wonder. When Raghunath Das met all the devotees, Advaitacharya showed him great mercy. He also met Shivananda Sen, who informed him, "Your father sent 10 men to take you away." "He wrote me a letter asking me to send you back. But when those 10 men received no information about you, they returned home from Jankara. So that means that they went there and thought he was in the party because he had gone the other road, so that they went back. Not that the 10 men came all the way to Puri, right? 3:6, 248-275. When all the devotees from Bengal returned home after staying at Jagannath Puri for 4 months, Raghunath Das's father heard about their arrival and therefore sent a man to Shivananda Sen. That man inquired from Shivananda Sen, "Did you see anyone in the renounced order at the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" "That person is Raghunath Das, the son of Govardhan Majumdar. Did you meet him in Neelachal?" Shivananda Sen replied, "Yes, sir. Raghunath Das is with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is a very famous man. Who does not know him? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has placed him under the charge of Sri Damodar. Raghunath Das has become just like the life of all the Lord's devotees. He chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night. He never gives up the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not even for a moment. He is in the supreme order of renounced life. Indeed, he does not care about eating or dressing. Somehow or other, he eats and maintains his life. After 10 dandas, 4 hours of the night have passed, and Raghunath Das has seen the performance of Pushpanchali, he stands at the Simhadwara gate to beg some alms to eat." Oh, so he's only at that last, when the pandas are going home after the puja, because Jagannath, because he has that benediction, that blessing from that prayer by Indadumna, that he'll only be closed for, I think, for 3 hours. So I think he closes at midnight and opens again at 3, because he wanted, because normally deity worship, the deity is closed for a lot of the day, you know, night and then that hours in the afternoon. But he prayed that he may be open for, you know, everyone to see it at all times. So then it was arranged like that. So that's why 4 dandas of the night. So that'd be like 10 o'clock at night.
10 to 3.
Hmm?
10 to 3.
No, but I'm saying that he's standing after that last offering. Like us, we have our last offering. You know, late the deities go to rest and everything like that. And so after that, then the pacharis would go. So only at that. It would be like if you, you know, stood outside of Radhamadava's place, you know, for, at that time. You know, whatever. Cake,
anyway.
10 dandas, excuse me, 4 hours, not 4 dandas. So this is here, dandas 24 minutes. So then you get 4 hours. Otherwise, if you have that, they're also working with, I think, with another aspect, you can have dandas meaning 30-minute dandas. You can also have, so then it would be, anyway, be 8 dandas. And this is the 24-minute, that's the standard dandas. He eats if someone gives him something to eat. Sometimes he fasts, and sometimes he chews fried grains. After hearing this, the messenger returned to Govardhan Majumdar and informed him all about Raghunath Das. Hearing the description of Raghunath Das's behavior in the renounced order, his father and mother were very unhappy. Therefore, they decided to send Raghunath Das some men with goods for his comfort. Raghunath Das's father immediately sent 400 coins, 2 servants, and 1 Brahmin to Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen informed them, "You cannot go to Jagannath Puri directly. When I go there, you may accompany me." So that means it would, until next May, like that. "Now go home. When all of us go, I shall take all of you with me." Otherwise, how do these guys go with 400 coins, right? Mm-hmm. 2 servants and 1 Brahmin, you know. Means nothing of that crew will make it to Puri, right? Yeah. Describing this incident, the great poet Sri Kavikarnapur has written extensively about the glorious activities of Raghunath Das in his Sri Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka. But Raghunath Das is a disciple of Yadunandan Acharya, who is very gentle and is extremely dear to Vasudev Datta, a resident of Kanchanapalli. Because of Raghunath Das's transcendental qualities, he is always more dear than life for all of us devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since he has been favored by the abundant mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is always pleasing, vividly providing a superior example for the renounced order. This very dear follower of Srup Damodar Goswami is the ocean of renunciation. Who among the residents of Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, does not know him very well? Footnote 68. This verse is from Sri Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka, 10.3 of Kavikarnapur. Oh, 10.3. Okay, so this is the last act. Yeah. In these verses, the great poet Kavikarnapur gives the same information that Sivananda Sen conveyed to the messenger from Raghunath Das's father. The next year, when Sivananda Sen was going to Jagannath Puri as usual, the servants and the Brahmin, who was a cook, went with him. The servants and Brahmin brought 400 coins to Jagannath Puri, and there they met Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das did not accept the money and the men sent by his father. Therefore, the Brahmin and one of the servants stayed there with the money. At that time, Raghunath Das began inviting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house with great attention for 2 days every month.
That's interesting. So Raghunath Das goes to the house. He invites Lord Chaitanya to his house.
But they all, like Haridas Thakur has his place, his kutir.
Right. I guess it's for wedding. I mean, you can't imagine him having a house. But...
I mean, it's just he has his place. The house is where you're staying. It's a house, not a home.
Right.
But that... Okay. The cost of these two occasions was 640 kodis. Therefore, he would take that much from the servant and the Brahmin. Raghunath Das continued to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way for 2 years. But at the end of the second year, he stopped. When Raghunath Das neglected to invite Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for two consecutive months, the Lord, the son of Sachi, questioned Srup Damodar. The Lord asked, "Why has Raghunath Das stopped inviting me?" Srup Damodar replied, "He must have reconsidered something in his mind. I invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by accepting goods from materialistic people. I know that the Lord's mind is not satisfied by this. My consciousness is impure because I accept all these goods from people who are interested only in pounds, shillings, and pence. Therefore, by this kind of invitation, I get only some material reputation." Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada.